my soul today. Yes, I feel it now. Yes, I feel it now. He has taken all my doubts and fears away. Brought in me a sweet and perfect rest. In my raptured heart I can feel it now. Each passing moment keeps me safe and blessed, fills my light, my heart and brow. It is mine, mine, blessed be His name. He has given peace, perfect peace to me. It is mine, mine, blessed be His name, mine for all eternity. He has given me a never-failing joy. Oh, I have it now, oh, I have it now. To His praise I will my ransom pass and implore, and renew.
Indeed has given us all things in Christ Jesus. I want to speak this morning on another great victory that God is giving us. Let us turn to the first chapter of James. James 1. Let's begin with verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. I want to introduce some messages today on temptation. We will have a number of them over the next few weeks, and they are very important unto us because we must know how to conduct ourselves in these times of temptation. And they are especially prevalent, I do believe, in these last days because God is doing a very special work through them. I see three major sources of temptation. We might think that there are a whole lot more when they are seeing so inundated with them, but actually there are only three sources that I can find. Number one is God. Now we read here that He is not tempted of evil, neither tempteth he any man. But we read in Genesis 22:1, it came to pass after these things God did tempt Abraham. And so God does tempt. He does bring forth temptation. We will see more of that as we go on in these messages. And then we also find, secondly, Matthew 4:1 says this, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Jesus was specifically led of the Spirit into the wilderness for the specific purpose of being tempted by the devil. And so the devil is certainly one source of temptation. Then the third one is in our text here. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Tempted of his own lust is simply a reference to the fact that he is of the Aaronic or Adamic creation. He has that nature that was passed down from Adam, clear from the Garden of Eden, and indeed down to our day. And so this is a great source of temptation, and we will see that as we go on in these messages. The message this morning I've entitled, "The Blessing of Temptation." And that might seem strange, but this is exactly what we read here. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. There is great blessing attached to temptation. And it is something that indeed we must understand, because we must deal with it, and indeed we must conduct ourselves in the right manner, as I said, during these times of temptation. As we read here in James 1:12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." That word "endure" means to stay under. It means to remain. It means to undergo. And I want to notice that the instruction here does not apply to all temptation, because there are some situations, as we're going to find out, that God tells us to flee, to get away from them. But in this particular one, we are to endure the temptation. And as we read here, "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord God, Lord hath promised to them that love him." We'll see more of that also later. But I want to notice that this great temptation that God has sent to us, he also sends consolation. And this is one of the great blessings that we find during the time of temptation. This is something that we need to take to account. We need to take into our own being. We need to understand and embrace it, and by virtue of the fact we'll not turn there, but put it down for reference. This is the consolation that God has given to us. When he brings the temptation, when he lays these things on us, so to speak, listen to what we read in 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." We might think, boy, I'm different, I'm unique, and nobody ever went through this. No, they're all common to man. Notice further, "But God is faithful." This is where our attention must be drawn when we are in any kind of temptation or trial or difficulty. God is faithful. And here's the promise. "He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able." Now, there are those that stop there at that particular place, but it is important that we go on with the verse. When people think about deliverance, they automatically think, well, just taken out of it, it's over, it's gone, it's done. But that's not what the verse says. It says, "He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." God may not intend to take that temptation away. He does not until it has worked the work that He intends that it should. This morning, I want to notice in this particular message on the blessing of the temptation, blessings of temptation, rather, there are 8 points of blessing in these verses, beginning back here in verse 1 of James 1. He tells us about the enduring and all of this. But let us back up to the first verse of this same chapter, and we begin in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. James again writing to his own people, the Jews, the Hebrews. Verse 2, he says, my brethren. And we must understand here that James is not talking to sinners. James is speaking to Christians. He is speaking to believers whom God has chosen to bring certain temptations upon. And so we read, my brethren, this is the first thing that we are to remember. We are to consider that this is a point of blessing. And indeed, this is one of the ways that we must conduct ourselves. And we're going to see why, because there are tremendous benefits in enduring these temptations. And so the first one here is in verse 2, count it all joy. More often than not, these temptations are rather a grievous experience, a painful experience. And yet James tells us, count it all joy. That means that faith reaches beyond what we are going through. Faith counts those things that be not as though there were, even as God does. And so we are in agreement with God in this matter. And so we can, by faith, whether we feel it or not, we can, by faith, rejoice. Count it all joy. Bringing us to the next one. When you fall into divers temptations. The fall means that this is something beyond our own control. We didn't plan it. We didn't ask for it. We don't feel like we did anything to deserve it. But nevertheless, you fall into temptation. It is beyond our control. This is where we must recognize that this is God's decision and accept it as His, at His hand. It is also very important to distinguish this. Yes, we must accept it from His hand, but we can't blame God for it coming. That is the wrong attitude, and there is no way that a person will ever count it joy if he blames God for happening. There are people that go through their lives blaming God for things that have happened as though it is His fault that they are in the position. No, the matter is they have made wrong decisions. And so it is incumbent on us to take it from the hand of the Lord, but never to blame Him for such a thing. And when we do take it from His hand, yes, we can count it all joy. This brings us to the third one. Knowing this, it is imperative for us to understand our knowledge can only come from the Word of God. Our knowledge can't come from our own opinion or our own assessment of things. We must base these things on what God's Word says. He will tell us the hows and the whys, the whens and the wherefores in regard to all of these temptations that we're going through. God has it all planned out. He has never been caught unawares. And so we must trust the Word of God when it comes to such temptations. We know these things from God's Word. And here we are told specifically what we know from God's Word, knowing that the trying of your faith. And that has a result also. But for right now, let us notice the trying of your faith. You can hold your place here in James because we are going to come back to it. But let's turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter. Peter also has some wise counsel when it comes to the trying of your faith. 1 Peter 1, and in verse 5, we read this. Who are kept, talking about believers, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation or deliverance, ready to be delivered. And once again, it is so applicable to the last time, to the last day. I continue to emphasize, I continue to enlarge on the fact that we are living in the last days of this church age. We are coming up on days just extremely prior to the tribulation period. There are many people that simply do not accept or do not believe, maybe they don't want to accept or believe, that these days are here. But indeed they are, and it is to our profit to understand and to know exactly what Peter is saying along with other apostles. So these are the things ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein, verse 6, you greatly rejoice, even as we were told to do, that we count it all joy when we fall into these temptations. You greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. And you can underline that because it is God who will determine whether it's needed or not. It's not us. It's not someone else. It is not our opinion, our desire. If God decides if need be. And so, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness. Notice, through manifold temptations. This means there's not just one. And we have heard from people and seen people that seem like they're enduring one thing right after another all at the same time. They are manifold temptations. This is the knowledge we gain from God's word of knowing that these things are here and they are right in front of us. We are in the midst of them. So you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith. And that's exactly what we have been reading about there in James, that our faith is tried. It must be tried in order that it might be proven, that it might be affected, that it might be real. When he says the trial of your faith, God is saying, do you really believe what you say you believe? He's going to test that. And so this is the trial of your faith. But you will notice, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. And some are really feeling the heat, so to speak, in their lives today. But this is a time to once again endure these things, endure the temptation, endure the fire that God has brought, because there is a purpose for it. So it be tried with fire. Notice this, that it may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This tells us that our faith reaches out and we lay hold of the fact that, yes, Jesus is coming again. Some people may think it's a myth. Some put it off. Some may think, eventually, but not in my lifetime. Our faith reaches out and says, I am confident, even despite all of these things, even because of these things, I believe Jesus is coming again, even in my lifetime. And so I want to notice here that he says might be found under the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This would be the praise, the honor, and the glory for Jesus' benefit. Our eyes are turned upon him. That's why many of these temptations come, is to turn our eyes and our hearts and our faith completely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the life of endurance that will indeed glorify him. Enduring, or staying under, the difficulty until His work is done. This is what glorifies Him. Let us go back to the first chapter of James and continue these other steps, these other reasons that we are viewing these things as to what it means to endure, to stay under the difficulty, the temptation that God has ordained for us. Number four, that's in the, again, continuing in this third verse of James 1. Number four is, worketh patience. It is so important to understand what patience is. Patience is not just a matter of waiting until it's over. It's not a matter of, as it were, hiding our head in the sand until this passes over and it's all gone. I want to emphasize here, patience is a power. It is the power that God wants in our lives. The reason I say it is a power is because that it indeed is a work. Patience is working. We'll find out what that work is here in just a moment. But this is patience, and I also want to notice that patience is an attitude of submission to work for our benefit. We find that in the fifth one, verse 4. But let. You see, this is submission. It is our choice to surrender to what God is saying. You let patience have her perfect work. You let patience do what patience was intended to do. So let patience have her perfect work. That work, once again, being the result of that attitude that He is striving for, that He wants to see in us. And notice what it is. That patience may have her perfect work. It is that you may be perfect. Now, some people argue against such things, but the Scripture declares this is why we have to believe God's word rather than people's opinion. God says we can be perfect, but what does it mean? The little word perfect here means complete, of full age. It is stated in other ways in the Scripture that you might grow up into Christ in all things. This is a picture of perfection. This is what God intends for my life. And then He says, entire. This is not repetition. The little word entire means complete in every part. And so that means that God wants us to be fully grown up into Christ in all things. But the little word here, an entire, indicates every part of our lives. And there are parts of our lives that are complete. They are real. They are living. They're exactly what God wants. But there are other parts of our lives wherein we are lacking. That is the reason for the temptation. That's why God has sent these things, in order that patience might have her perfect work. And that perfect work is to complete us, even in every part. As we continue here in this same verse, lacking nothing. That's perfection, when there is nothing lacking. But this brings us to the seventh reason, the seventh point here in regard to enduring this temptation. It is, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He is saying, ask wisdom of God in time of temptation. More often than not, we simply do not know which way to turn or exactly what to do in times of these temptations, this test, this adversity that God has brought into our lives. Just ask God. Again, it is our attention that is drawn unto Him rather than going in our own way. rather than trusting our own wisdom, rather than believing what we would do and what we would like to do is right, ask God. Ask Him for His wisdom. And so notice that we are to ask of Him. And as we find the glorious promise here, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He's not going to challenge us for coming in and not going to blame us, not going to reprimand us for coming and asking wisdom in these times of great difficulty, rather than just asking on our, or acting on our own and starting out to perhaps inflict damage on other people because of our decisions. No. Let him ask of God. And indeed, God will give that to all men liberally, and it shall be given him. This brings us to number 6. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. This simply speaks of total confidence in him. We are, and we must, turn away from our own thoughts and ingenuity and our own ways, asking His wisdom, following His instruction. And so we find here, we ask in faith, nothing wavering, with full, absolute, complete confidence in Him, knowing that He doeth all things well. He that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. That's why there is so much flipping around, things of this nature in the lives of people. We must put our confidence, our faith, our trust in Him. That way we will not labor, or waver, rather. Verse 7, let not him that think he shall receive anything of the Lord, that is, that particular man, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. And so it is that indeed we have come to that place where we have given everything into the hand of our God. And then we will close with, again, with verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. You see, blessed is the man that endureth. That is our responsibility. It is up to us to stay under all of these things until God has completed His work in our lives. And then His responsibility, as we receive, we read here, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. And so it is indeed the Lord who will give us this crown of life. What is the crown of life? It's not just living forever. We're given that the day we're born again. The crown of life means that we are victorious in life in every sense of the word. We truly are those who are full overcomers before God. All right, that's as far as we'll go today. If anyone has a need in body, we'd be glad to pray for you. If you want to seek the Lord.